Linda Alves is a 22-year-old primogravida at 36 and 6/7 weeks gestation who was sent in by her OBGYN because of preeclampsia first noticed in the office this morning. Her blood pressure was 150 over 94, she had 2+ proteinuria, a 5-pound weight gain in the last week, and brisk reflexes, all consistent with the diagnosis of preeclampsia. Here in the hospital, her liver enzymes were normal, her platelet count was 134,000 and creatinine 1.1, all normal, but her uric acid was significantly elevated to 7.3, more evidence of preeclampsia. At this gestational age, there's very little to be gained by postponing delivery, so we began inducing labor. Her cervix was favorable for induction. It was already dilated 2.5 centimeters, 90% effaced, and the fetal head was presenting at zero station. Since she needed no cervical ripening agents, we went directly to Pitocin induction. During the early phases of induction, she developed a headache and her blood pressure rose to 158 over 100, so we started her on a loading dose of magnesium sulfate, 4 grams intravenously, followed by a maintenance dose of 2 grams an hour. We also gave her some Tylenol and the headache resolved. Her blood pressure dropped to 146 over 92 on the magnesium sulfate alone. She received the magnesium sulfate to protect her against seizures, but it does have a modest antihypertensive effect as well. When she reached 5 centimeters dilatation, she started demonstrating late decelerations on the fetal monitor. They were gradual in onset and gradual in recovery. They started well into the contraction and didn't resolve until well after the contraction had finished. They were milder with shorter contractions and deeper with longer contractions. The late decelerations represent the normal fetal response to utero-placental perfusion problems. During a normal contraction, all blood flow through the uterus stops because the small blood vessels are physically compressed by the strength of the muscular contraction. A normal fetus with good reserve can tolerate this brief interruption in uterine blood flow without difficulty, and during normal contractions, we don't normally see any decelerations. However, a normal fetus with a depleted reserve may find that partway through the contraction, it has effectively used up the readily available oxygen and turns to other means to satisfy its needs. One of these is the vagally mediated slowing of the fetal heart rate. The heart is the biggest consumer of oxygen in the fetus, and so slowing the heart has a significant impact on the fetal oxygen requirements. Another adaptive mechanism is the metabolic breakdown of glucose splitting off its oxygen. This provides some additional oxygen, but at a cost of lactic acid production, which will lead to steadily increasing metabolic acidosis. In any event, when the late decelerations were first noted, standard attempts to resolve them were first undertaken, including turning the patient way over on her side to improve uterine blood flow, intravenous fluid hydration to increase maternal blood volume and improve maternal cardiac output, oxygen mask at 10 liters per minute to boost maternal oxygen saturation from 98% to 100%. Slowing and shortening the contractions by turning down the Pitocin. By providing less duration of uterine blood flow interruption and increasing the recovery time between contractions, the fetal reserves will be improved and the challenge to those reserves reduced. The late decelerations completely resolved with these maneuvers, but after 2 more hours, she was 8 centimeters dilated and the late decelerations returned. At this point, the Pitocin was stopped completely and the contractions slowed to every 5 minutes, but the decelerations went away. Now we are simply watching. With her 8 centimeters dilated, even though she's contracting only every 5 minutes, that may still be enough to continue her progress in labor to a successful vaginal delivery without provoking more late decelerations. But she may also stall out with the every 5-minute contractions and not make any further progress. If she fails to make further progress, we'll perform a cesarean section. Late decelerations are a relatively frequent event during labor. We can make most of them go away through simple means without resorting to cesarean section. But those that are repetitive and non-remediable will generally require a cesarean section to prevent serious fetal metabolic acidemia and possible hypoxic injury. How long you have to resolve these late decelerations is a matter of debate and probably depends on the specific situation, but a common general guideline is that in the typical clinical scenario, you've got about an hour to get them resolved. This patient has late decelerations because her placenta is abnormal. That's also why she has preeclampsia.